guys, Vegas Fever Podcast. Jason and Paula here with you.
Hi.
We got a really, really big show. Really, really big show. Nick Rabone is going to join us, associate head coach, UNLV hockey. Really, really excited about that. Before he jumps on to join us, got to talk about a few things. Little Knights nuggets, you know, as we'll call them. There was some, since we last did a show, there was, you know, a season ending press conference with players, with coaches, with
the staff.
Yes. With the higher ups and the staff, and some pretty interesting comments, that I'm going to be reading from, sinbin.vegas. This is courtesy of their Twitter. But before we get to that, what I wanted to do was I wanted to mention to you, you probably hadn't heard this. Jack Eichel spent the last 2 months of the season with a fractured wrist. That happened in early February. I remember when it happened. I can't quote the opponent, but I remember when he got hurt and he was out for a game or two and people were like, oh boy, here we go. But the Knights at the time had said that they had that, you know, a bullet was dodged. And apparently that bullet was probably that it wasn't fully broken. I guess that would be the bullet.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know too much, but I've had a few fractures and there's not a ton they could do for them except let them heal depending on how bad they are. I don't know as far as like sports stuff, but
his wasn't a, it wasn't great, but it wasn't broken, but he played through it. So that's something that, you know, will just have to mend itself because, you know, with hands and feet, they just suck and they don't heal the way you want them to all the time. Robin Leonard had surgery on his shoulder, I believe. See, I get confused and lost with him because he had a couple of issues, but I believe it was the shoulder that he was having trouble with. And we still don't know about Pete DeBoer coming back. We assume he's going to come back. We assume that he's had conversations with management. And there's our cat. Do you think, here, let's bring the cat. Bruno, come here. Do you think that Pete DeBoer should come back? Or do you think that he should go? All right, he's thinking about it. So something that throws a little bit of an interesting dynamic into this is that Barry Trotz was let go from the New York Islanders. He was the head coach of the Capitals when the Capitals beat the Golden Knights in the Stanley Cup. And he was the head coach of the Islanders for a few years after that. It was very, very shocking to hear that he was let go because this past season, the Islanders were not good. They took a definite step back. They were in the conference final 2 years in a row.
I swear I thought you said the Rangers. I was like, I'm so confused right now.
No, the Islanders. They took a big step back. Yeah. They were not what they were. And
they've been pretty good.
Barry Trotz is not to blame. This team had a lot going on, and it wasn't Barry Trotz's fault, and he got the axe.
Can you say Barry Trotz one more time?
Barry Trotz. Barry effing Trotz. Do you think that Barry Trotz, since we're saying full names, do you think he is the pot is sweet enough to get rid of Pete DeBoer and bring in Barry Trotz?
I would enjoy a Barry Trotz coach because I like his name.
You would enjoy that.
That's the only reason.
I feel like.
But I thought you said that Pete DeBoer was untouchable because of all the injuries and look how far they came despite the injuries. And it's blah, 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 blah. That's all you've been yapping about for months now. So
I would argue that it's not yapping. I would say that it's back and forth, friendly talking.
Okay.
Not friendly yapping, not yapping. You know, it's negative connotations. The Golden Knights, in my opinion, got rid of Gerard Gallant for a few reasons. They got rid of him because they had someone to jump to.
Well, we really don't know the entire story
yet.
We
don't.
We will.
Of course.
10 years when he retires.
It'll be a documentary.
Right.
Yeah, it'll be that, you know, 30 ESPN 30 for 30, you know. The relationship started to be fractured. We all know when after that 3-1 comeback by San Jose in the 2019 first round. And then it didn't get much better for Gallant or Gallant. I don't like Gallant. I like Gallant. Well, I think it's sharp, like the car, you know what I mean? Like it's more sharp. Pete DeBoer was sitting in Florida for a month after he got fired. It was, if you're going to do this, it was completely logical that you go to, he was the guy sitting there. Okay. You have another guy sitting there, but his services will be, there will be a race to get a Barry Trotz because other teams need, there's a few other teams that need coaches, So there will be, I don't know what conversations are going on. I don't know if they will go on. I feel like Pete DeBoer is in the last year right now coming up. This next year is the last year of his contract. If they don't make a deep run, I don't see him coming back.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I don't see him coming
back. The only crutch he has is the fact that everyone was injured. If that had not been the case, I believe he'd be gone.
So there was a – this happened on the 3rd. It was, your season ending, locker cleaning out, talking to the players, talking to the coaches, talking to staff. And I'm looking over some of the comments. Now, all the Vegas media was posting this, so this is definitely on any one of your favorite – whoever is your go-to for Vegas stuff. Riley Smith is an unrestricted free agent, so that's something that we didn't really consider. Jonathan Marchessault called him his best friend. He wants him to be here. In my opinion, Riley Smith would have had a contract by now. Riley Smith was going to be in Vegas. If he should have had a contract by now. And they still can, but once free agency hits in the middle of July, I mean, I don't think Riley Smith, if you don't get it done, I don't think he brings a lot to the team.
I would be sad to see him go.
I think he's more important than William Karlsson.
For sure.
I don't know if he's...
I mean, it pains me to agree to that because, but he's done a lot more this season, in my opinion, I think.
I mean... I think the story on William Karlsson being a 30-40 goal scorer is that was a one-hit wonder.
He did really well the second season as well. Not as many.
He did, but if you're talking about overall, it's a decline. I mean, you go from 42 to 28 to like in the teens to like 10. Pete DeBoer,
and overall the team is at a decline.
Also, you would like a Barry Trotz because a Barry Trotz is better on the power play. Historically, his teams are better on the power play. So that is something good as well. A lot of injury. This whole press conference was, they lost over 500 man hours, man games, I should say.
Are you sad they're not in the playoffs? Does it feel different? Are you relieved? I mean, what is it you're feeling?
After seeing Nashville get their asses kicked by Colorado, I mean, I don't know what Vegas would have been able to do.
It feels a little different. We've never been in this position before as far as with Vegas.
This time of year is usually way different than it
was. I get a little, jealous seeing everyone, from inside the ring talking about their teams in the playoffs. And I'm just like...
Right. That's cool.
Yeah.
Hey, we're playing. You know what I mean? Like one of the guys on Inside the Ring made a comment that like, hey, some of us are playing golf. Okay. Some of us are not in the playoffs. So, you should be happy because, some teams are complaining. Like for instance, the Rangers are down 3-1 in the series to Pittsburgh. If they lose tonight, it's over.
And there goes my whole bracket.
I had the Rangers advancing one time. Yeah. So, I mean, that would blow your entire thing here. But a lot of the Ranger people on Inside the Rink are like, they're like, oh, God, I think I'm going to jump off a cliff or something. You know what I mean? Like, hypothetically. And it's just like, hey, some of us are not in the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Well, just because what's that saying? I always say your broken arm can still hurt even though the person's in a body cast next to you. Like,
true.
Sometimes
you feel each other's pain and sometimes not. Kelly McCrimmon made a comment about after season one, management decided that the formula to the team's success was not sustainable and they needed better players. to compete with a Washington Capitals. So
okay, well, that didn't happen.
But that's why they went after Pacioretty, Stone, yeah. Pietrangelo, Eichel, etc., Alec Martinez. That's why they went after these guys, because they decided after season one to be the bad guys. Because season one was lovable, cuddly, oh, cute little puppy Vegas Golden Knights. And ever since then, it's been like, God, everybody hates this team. They really, really do. You know, it's not easy to be hated so quickly. And they've made some very, very questionable maneuvers in a lot of different aspects. Speaking of Eichel, the Golden Knights were going to pick in the top echelon of the draft, but that pick goes to Buffalo because of Eichel.
Right.
It was top 10 protected, but it wasn't in the top 10. It ended up being 16. So Vegas forfeits that pick. They don't get a pick until like in the 40s. So in like the mid-second round is when, unless they trade up, unless they make a deal, that's the other side of this. They gave up, I think, a first and a third, and Eichel, or and Tuck and Krebs, I believe. So that's the other part of this is, look, if you're in the playoffs, that pick isn't as hurtful, right? I still feel like they have a lot of tools. I feel like Vegas has a lot organizationally to where they're going to be good for a long, long time. But missing the playoffs to kind of finish off your question, missing the playoffs sucks. It hurts. It's long. It'll be the longest offseason in the five-year history of the franchise. So the expansion, not expansion draft, the entry draft lottery was something that Vegas never had to worry about because they were never involved. And they were involved, and they end up being picked basically right away at 16th because mm-hmm. it's the top 16 picks, because you have the other 16 teams in the playoffs. That will be determined later. But this is different. Free agency starts in the middle of July. The schedule will be released probably toward the end of that month. And then camp, and then preseason. It's long. There was a somber, the overall mood of this press conference was somber. Well, it was sad. Because, there's a bunch of restricted free agents, but Riley Smith is the only unrestricted free agent. So I think that Riley Smith, you has probably played his last game, if I had to guess. And they didn't unload him, and they're going to get nothing for him. So, look, a couple months to sign him, see what happens. I don't think I missed anything on the Golden Knights front. It's been a little while since we've done a show.
Yeah, over a week, right?
Yeah. So you've had kind of, a lot of stuff go on. But no clear answer on Pete DeBoer, I guess, is the way to kind of end, this segment. Is no clear answer on Pete DeBoer. I still lean that he stays. I think, Barry Trotz is a big domino to fall. And if they're not jumping soon, they're not jumping, because that's a fish. He still wants to coach, and he was did dirty. And I think it's a tremendous story, an amazing story, if he were to come to Vegas and win a cup after he won a cup against Vegas. I think that's a tremendous story. And what if it was against like the Islanders that or Capitals? That would be like, because I still have Barry Trotz nightmares about the series. What you look at what Barry Trotz did after game one that Vegas won in that series, he made so many adjustments and Vegas didn't win another game. That's the guy right there. That good on the power play, really good X's and O's. Lots of experience, knows the game, respected, gets stuff out of guys. And that's, yeah. I mean, it, look, if you're not doing it soon, you're just not doing it. Right. So.
Well, with all that being said, please go check out our friends at Inside the Rink. They are producing and popping out content like no tomorrow with all the playoffs. And a quick word from our Inside the Rink sponsors and friends, BetUS. BetUS has your NHL, NBA, UFC, PGA, and yes, NFL betting lines for up to their 27th, almost 28th year of live betting. Sign up for BETUS.com with promo code RINK for 125% sign up bonus. I would have lost for sure if I was betting on the night. I lost
a long time ago.
But I would have gotten my sign up bonus. So there's that.
So the promo code, guys, is RINK, R-I-N-K, for your 125% sign up bonus. Play with the proven mainstay in the industry, BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid, BetUS.com. With that, it's definitely time for us to... We're actually going to bring him on right now. We're actually going to have Nick Rabone join us right now. So here we are, Nick Rabone, associate head coach, UNLV Hockey, joins us here on the Vegas Fever podcast. Welcome. Nick, welcome. Thank you for having, thank you for coming on our show. Normally I'm going on others. So now we have a guest, and this is something that we look to do a lot. Nick, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Never a problem. We are fascinated with how far UNLV's hockey program has come. And that's what led me to reach out to you about doing this. And we're so grateful for that. Tell us a little bit, you know, and tell the people that listen to our show a little bit about yourself. How long have you been with the program, et cetera?
Yeah, so the program itself has been around for about 16 seasons now. This will be the 17th year in the program's history. I've been with the team now for 6 seasons. This is going to be my 7th. It's crazy how much time has flown by with it, and I'm very grateful to be part of the program and definitely see the growth that we've had here over that time. You know, I think the big thing for us always will be the Golden Knights coming to Las Vegas, obviously. So, you know, when I first arrived and started coaching the program, we were playing at the Las Vegas Ice Center. It's a smaller rink, you know, we were happy to call it home then. And, you know, I had a good little setup at the bar and whatnot, but it's definitely not the $26 million facility we have today. So when the Knights first came here, we had begun discussion with them about how we'd be able to partner with them and be able to play and practice out of the practice facility there at City National Arena. And we spoke to Murray Craven at the time and talked about the locker room setup, and they had us in mind from the beginning. So we're very grateful of that. And, you know, it's really kind of just blown up into something so much bigger than I ever anticipated. And now, you know, we packed the rink with 700-800 fans a game. And, you know, this upcoming season, we'll play 3 NCAA games at the Division I level. So it's, like I said, it's been crazy to see the growth from the ACHA Division II to ACHA Division I and hopefully beyond.
I remember there being, when we lived in Las Vegas, you know, before the Golden Knights, there was only a few sheets of ice in Las Vegas. And the growth has just been leaps and bounds from getting programs into schools and having traveling teams, young and older. The way that the Golden Knights have come in and just changed everything about hockey in the state of Nevada has just been absolutely incredible.
And you know, you already touched on it, but you know, one of my questions was, do you think the Knights brought more of a passion out for the youth in Las Vegas for hockey? But you know, you already answered it. So,
right.
You know, it's great to see.
Absolutely. There is.
Yeah, I mean, no, go ahead. I sat on the board NAHA, which is the Nevada Amateur Athletic Hockey Association. And when I was sitting on the board, this was pre the Knights getting there, you know, we'd be lucky if we had 40 or 50 mites, which would be 8 and unders, join in Nevada. And now towards the end, I just resigned and moved on and have somebody else come in there. But there was like 500 in the last couple of years. So it's pretty crazy.
Tell us a little bit about the UNLV hockey team, where you guys will travel, how does the division that you play in work, et cetera.
So we play at the American Collegiate Hockey Association Division I level. There's about 65 teams in our division in our league. And we also have a conference that we play out of as well. So we play out of what's called the WCHL, and it mainly consists of the Western Conference teams. So we have a set schedule that we play within conference, where we play teams like University of Arizona, Arizona State, GCU, Utah, Colorado State, and now San Diego and Oregon will probably be joining that as well here in the next few years. But just like any other college program, you know, we're going to play between 30 and 35 games throughout the year. You know, we traveled all most of those places by bus, but you know, for our program, we like to consider ourselves elite. And with that being said, we don't ever travel by bus anywhere over 6 hours. So it's kind of our sell. It's kind of like our recruiting pitch for a lot of our guys, is that, you know, we treat them like real athletes should be treated. So nothing crazy where you're traveling halfway across the country by bus or anything like that. So that's a big deal for us, is making sure our guys come here and get a first-class college hockey experience, both on and off the ice. But the program itself, like I said, we always try and schedule the best teams that we can. So for us, this is going to be a very unique opportunity, like I said, where we're going to play the University of Alaska Anchorage in Alaska twice, and then they'll come down to Las Vegas and play us once. Unfortunately, you know, those games aren't going to go towards the rankings in our league or anything along those lines, but they are going to be great competition. It's good for exposure, and obviously with us always wanting to push the envelope and eventually get to that varsity status, it's a big step in the right direction.
That's amazing.
Do you guys get any funds from the university? How can people support? I know that to get to the level that you guys are looking to get at, it's all about funding and donations and raising money. Do you guys get anything from the school, and how does that work?
So when you think about what we fall under, which is club sports, essentially, you know, quote unquote, you know, it's tough to kind of visualize, and this is no disrespect to some of the other club sports, but, you know, when you think about our men's ice hockey program with a budget of $500,000, 32 student athletes and, you know, 8 to 10 staff, it's a lot different than, per se, maybe the bowling team or things like that. But essentially, we do fall under the same umbrella. So when it comes to funding from the school, we put in for certain items, and the school, you know, they help us out the best they can. But when you look at the grand scheme of our budget, it's just a small drop in the bucket. So a lot of our funding is going to be coming from, you know, donors, boosters, fundraising events, and then sponsorship sales. So, you know, there's all sorts of ways people can help us out financially. And I think whether they're looking to get exposure for their business, and, you know, for us, we have different sponsorship levels. That's always a big deal for us. We have our donor puck wall. And then we do some fun events, obviously, throughout the year to show our appreciation for all of our donors and supporters as well. So generally, that's where a large chunk of our money is going to come from. And then, you know, we're lucky to have great fans and a great community for us to be profitable on game day. And we'll make some money off our merchandise sales as well. So there's always ways people can help out, whether it be, you know, $15 or $20 or $20,000, you know, it's all going to go towards what our budget consists of, is, you know, with travel and, you know, our ice fees and gear and food. And, you know, when you're traveling with 30 people, all these things add up. You know, the meals on the road generally are between $500 and $750 a meal. You know, traveling with that many people to St. Louis, where we were just after the national tournament, it wound up being a $24,000 trip. So, you know, we're not trying to, you know, necessarily make people feel sorry for us. It's just a matter of people understanding what it takes to run an elite program.
I mean, these are just facts of the matter. I mean, it's going to take a lot. How does NIL, name, image, likeness, does that affect you guys at all, being a club sport?
The only difference with the NIL and us is that we essentially don't have to go through the university. Because we're not associated with the athletic department per se. So, you know, our guys can go out and use their name, image, and likeness as much as they want. And, you know, there's nothing that says they can't do that. And they're their own, they're their own brand. And, you know, we talk about that a lot with our guys, and even more so now is, you know, you are your brand, and how you portray yourself on social media is going to be a big part of that. Right. Now it's something that, you know, 10 years ago when I was playing, you didn't even come across your mind. Now, you know, we have two PowerPoint slides in our pre-season meeting, just going over social media rules and conducts. So it's crazy to think.
I mean, I'm so glad that, you know, that portion of collegiate athletic sports has changed. I mean, there's a lot that you have to prepare yourself for, like you're talking about the, you know, these presentations and slides that you have to give the kids, but it really is deserved. For the longest time, you know, I mean, these are NCAA violations in various sports, and people could go to prison. People could lose their name, their shirt. They could lose everything. And it's completely different now. And I'm really glad that it is, because, you know, kids should be able to make a little money. They should be able to represent themselves. They should be able to do all the things that they're able to do. So
100%.
How close is the program? And you could just, you know, give a ballpark. How close is the program to getting to the next level that everybody, you know, in Las Vegas and surrounding the program wants UNLV hockey at?
Well, when we talk about that, and by we, I mean, you know, myself and Coach Greener, you know, we always, you know, pride ourselves in knowing that we want to win a national championship at the level that we're at. And that's always going to be our main goal is the student athletes that we have right now, and making sure that we're putting the best possible product on the ice. And we think that if we're going to do that, that's a large part in people taking notice that the program is on the right path to hopefully gaining that varsity status. You know, the second thing is having some continuity within the UNLV athletic department. It's going to be a big deal. You know, since we've been there now 6 years, the school is going on its third athletic director. And, you know, we had great conversations with both Tina and Desiree. And now moving forward, we hope to do the same with Eric. You know, from what we understand, Eric's in there for the long haul, and he actually dropped the puck at one of our last games when we played Oregon this past season. So we like to think he's in our corner already. And I think for him, he's got a lot of work to do within the community, and his main focus is probably going to be on the current athletic teams that are at that varsity level. But we like to think that, you know, he would have to give us a hard look if somebody were to come along and donate some big dollar amounts to the program to get us to that next level. So, you know, there's no time frame on it, short answer. But I do think that, like I said, us even just playing NCAA Division I games next season is huge. You know, it's great for us to be able to show that we can even compete at that level now, hopefully, without having the resources that some of these other teams do.
Yeah, playing Anchorage is a big deal. That'll be good for the program, especially to play them three times, essentially. Will be really, really good. What events, if you could tell us what events you guys have coming up in the future in terms of players, recruiting, camp, et cetera, anything that, you know, you want to let our listeners know, maybe how they can support, et cetera, stuff like that.
Of course. So for us, you know, we just finished our recent prospect camp a couple of weeks ago at City National Arena, and it's a very competitive camp, like it is year in and year out. And generally, we only take maybe one or two players from that camp, because if us as a staff are doing our job right, then, you know, we're hitting that recruiting trail pretty early and looking at certain guys. And we're excited to announce our recruiting class coming up here probably in the next few weeks. We're just waiting for a couple more commitments to be finalized. But I think people are going to be really excited with the guys we're bringing in, that some at the NCAA, you know, Division III level and possibly Division I level transfers, and some great guys from some numerous junior leagues, a couple local people, a couple local players as well. So it's going to be a really fun recruiting class. And fortunately, we really didn't have to recruit that many players this year, because we had so many guys coming back, you know, from a team that was
amazing.
Yeah, 27-5 last year. We only lose 3 seniors. So, wow. You know, it's always great to have competition, and that's what we're looking for when we're recruiting. But that'll be, you know, moving forward, the next few things coming up will be our schedule release. here in early June, and then season tickets will go on sale early July. And then we do our annual, you know, giant golf fundraiser, which will be in late August. We've sent the save the date out for August 26th. But that's a huge event for us. It's a lot of fun. We do some crazy stuff, like helicopter golf ball drop, golf ball launchers, you know, all sorts of different things. So it's a lot of fun. That'll be the sixth to seventh year we've done this tournament, and it's grown, and you know, we generally sell it out pretty quick. So anybody that's interested, on May 16th, we'll be opening up registration for that. Highly suggest getting your whole sponsors and foursomes all in there, because it's going to be a great time. And like I said, it fills up very, very quickly.
27-5, and you only lose a couple of guys. I mean,
that's amazing.
I mean, that is gearing up for a big run. For, you know, they made the, I mean, they were in the final four last year, the ACHA. I mean, this is the year where you go and you win the thing, because I mean, absolutely. They have all the tools. They have everything. If somebody wanted to watch or listen, mm-hmm. is there a way for us to do that outside and inside Las Vegas by chance?
We stream every home game through our YouTube channel at UNLV Rebel Hockey. So that'll be that's a great opportunity to be able to catch us if you're not in Las Vegas. And then all those games are archived as well. So even if you miss the game that night and want to catch the next day, you know, it's going to be available to everyone. And then 9 times out of 10, normally wherever we travel on the road, there's going to be a broadcast as well. And, you know, if you follow us on social media, on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, you know, at UNLV Rebel Hockey, you know, we always post those links so everybody's able to follow along. And our social media team does an unbelievable job on Twitter, making sure that everybody's staying up to date as well. So plenty of ways to follow the Rebels during games.
That's amazing. I didn't know about the YouTube channel. So that's what we're going to be doing.
That's absolutely what we're doing. That's handy stuff right there. I'm actually going to go on Dana Lane's hockey hotline on Friday. And I'm going to talk awesome. A little bit. I'm going to talk a little bit of puck with him, some nights and some NHL. He had the nicest things to say about you, and you and this program are absolutely fantastic. And it really is, you know, a privilege and really great to have you on the show.
Yes.
And this is something that we're going to do more and more of.
We just want to support, you know,
yeah.
Las Vegas is our home. I mean, not currently at the time, but we are, I mean, he's born and raised there.
I live there 30 years.
So yeah. We just want to support you guys.
No, of course. We love Dana, and I love talking hockey. And I'll talk about our program and answer any questions you guys have whenever. You know, we love this community. Like I said, I was born and raised here, and UNLV graduate myself. So for me, I'm very passionate about it. And, you know, so is Coach Greener. The both of us are. We're in it for the long haul, and we want to see this thing take off even more so than it already has, but can't do it without the support of the community and people like yourself. So this is great exposure for us. So thank you.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick. We will talk to you again. Thank you for coming on with us.
Congratulations on all your guys' success.
Absolutely.
Awesome, guys. Well, thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
And there you have it, folks. That was Nick Rabone, Associate Head Coach, UNLV Hockey. Great, great conversation. Great stuff by him.
Go support.
Absolutely. UNLV Skating Rebels. Season's going to be, you know, here before you know it in the fall. They still got a whole lot going on, signing players, et cetera. But there'll be more from him. Stay tuned in the future. Wanted to also mention, be sure to check me out if you're in Vegas. And even if you're not, because there is a way for you to listen, even if you're outside of Las Vegas, but it is.
Well, I'm sure you'll link it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'll send out, mm-hmm. you know, I'll send out some, you know, some information about that. It's with Dana Lane on the hockey hotline.
Yay.
It'll be KSHP 1400 on the AM dial in Las Vegas at 11:15 AM Pacific time. 2:15 Eastern time and anywhere in between, wherever you are. We're going to talk some puck. We're going to talk
about a podcast.
I mean, if he gives me a plug minute, second, I'll do it, but I'm sure he'll ask where he could find us. But, you know, Steve Karp, which I'm a big fan of, I have the book Running. That book that you bought me many years ago, yes. Running, is by Steve Karp. He covered the team for a long, long time. He's covered hockey. He just joined Dana's show, the Hockey Hotline. So
you're gonna tell him you have the book?
I'm gonna tell him that I've been a fan and I have the book and I followed him. I used to read his articles in the newspaper when he worked for the RJ. He's done it all. And he hopped out of sports, but then is hopping back in, and he's hopped on to be a host of that show. Dana does a couple of different shows. One starts at 10. I believe it's more of a betting show, and then you have the Hockey Hotline. So I'm going to hop on there 11:15 a.m. East Pacific, 11 a.m.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, 11:15 a.m. Pacific, 2:15 Eastern on Friday, folks. Not today, not tomorrow.
The 13th. Friday. Very creepy.
Ooh. Creepy. AM 1400 KSHP, and I'll send out all the linkage for that. UNLV lost a player, Josh Baker. He'll be transferring. He came in from community college, I think Hutchinson in Kansas. So he's going to be on the way out, an extra scholarship for Kevin Kruger. So still waiting to hear about Donovan Williams, if he's going to stay in the draft or not. That should be coming up shortly. Oopsie. So yeah. Vegas Varsity.
Yes, please. A lot of you guys used our code for their promotion that yes. was going on. That is over. But if you still use our code VFP10, 10% off your entire purchase.
That's right. VegasVarsity.com.
Awesome. Shirts, yes. hats. Yes. The hats. That's I just remembered I'm going to order you for your birthday. Sorry.
That's okay.
The hats, yes, are awesome.
I can't wait. And they have great shipping times, good products, good quality.
And save 10% off.
Yep, VegasVarsity.com. Also, InsideTheRink.com, @inside_the_rink. Definitely check out, you know, UNLV Hockey, right. at UNLV please. Rebel Hockey on Twitter, and at Nick Rabone. We just had him on, so we're really, really happy about that. Please subscribe after you listen, and let us know what you think about the show. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, at the Golden Wife over there on Twitter, at Vegas Fever Pod is myself. Yeah, that's it. That was fun. And we'll talk to you guys next time. Everybody have a good day.